Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Midtown Business Radio.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Midtown Business Radio. Stone, how you doing?
I am still reeling from the Halloween candy, man. We had the big party in the cul-de-sac, and then we had the family coming in, and now they're all getting geared up to... Mom and Dad are coming back for this Celtic Thunder thing in a couple of weeks. Do you know about this?
Is that Riverdance thing that you guys do as a family?
I think it's in the same kind of genre. And then it's family time from here on out. We're doing Disney down in South Florida for Thanksgiving. And we're at the Christmas house. So I'm going to work for like another week and a half. And then I'm going to have to clock out.
Calling it a year.
This is going to be a fun segment, though. Originally, I think we might have had a couple of other companies joining us, but instead we're going to have the Benson Hour, I believe.
It's quality time.
So we have with us from the Benson Company, Michael Lauer, who, of course, we've gotten to know over the last several weeks, and Sean Clark. Sean Clark is a partner over there and creative director. Michael is writer and associate producer. Welcome to the show, gang.
Well, thanks for having us.
All right, Sean, why don't we start with you? Benson Company, what are you guys doing for folks?
Yeah, we do film and video production. We've been in business probably for about 16 years. Both of us formerly were at Turner Broadcasting, and before Warner Brothers had bought Turner out, we kind of left when they bought it because they took all the creative to L.A. originally.
Right.
And we just kind of picked up actually a lot of work with the same clients. But through the Benson Company instead of working for Turner directly.
And then, so you're doing commercials?
Yep, we do. Basically, we have three different departments. One department does commercials for home video, mm-hmm. so DVD releases. So Scooby-Doo, Batman, Tom and Jerry.
Right.
What happens is we get a script. We pick out scenes that we want, send it to Asia where they do all the animation. They send us like 2 minutes of a movie. We'll do a trailer. If you guys have kids, those are all the pre-trailers to the movie.
Right, where you try to brainwash my kid into buying
exactly.
that DVD.
Exactly, buy.
Is it working?
Had a lot of Scooby videos.
And then once the movie's done, 6 months later, we get the full movie, and we'll do 30-second and 15-second TV spots for them.
So you use their video, and then you and their voiceover, and you just – or you do your own voiceover and use their – elements?
We use their elements, create our own graphics, and then edit here. And then VO we hire out depending on, you know, what the title is. And we use different agencies here in Atlanta and in Los Angeles for that.
But aren't there a whole lot of little decisions that could have big impact when it comes to gluing together a trailer? I would feel like that's a heck of a lot of responsibility. Like if I had to turn a 20-minute interview into a 30-second clip, I would be beside myself.
Yeah, I mean, basically you have to look through and, you know, as I always tell Michael, who has been writing for us for just about a year now, whatever you decide to take, have a reason for why you're writing with that section. So if it's 20 minutes, the 5 minutes that you want when you take it into a meeting, have a purpose for it. And it's the same with a trailer. If you go in and you cut a trailer and somebody's like, well, why'd you pick these shots? Why'd you pick that? If you can back it up, normally it goes forward as long as it's creative and it's working.
So now your business has expanded beyond just that element?
Yep. We also do trade shows, so cable trade shows. So like for Turner Entertainment, which is TBS, CNN, Headline News, TNT, Cartoon Network, CNNE, all of those, we'll do a 12-minute video that shows in their booth for NCTA, which is a national cable show.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we'll design the artwork that's inside there as well. And then the other things we do a lot of B2B stuff. So LexisNexis, we'll do some of their videos for new software that's coming out.
Uh-huh. And that they use it in trade shows, or they might use it on their website, or they use it wherever they need it?
All of them. What we have found now, and let me give you a little background. At Turner, we were in a department called Turner Home Entertainment,
mm-hmm.
and we used to do everything. You know, a lot of our competitors... they do trailers, that's all we do.
Right.
They do special features, that's all we do. But at Turner, especially back in the day, you did whatever they asked you. So
sure.
We were either doing spots for books, for DVDs when they were released. We would do special content that went on those DVDs. So it's kind of nice. So as a company, we went in those directions as well.
Mm-hmm.
So like right now we're working on a Weather Channel PSA that's coming out at the end of the year. But we're also working on Tom and Jerry.
Right.
So it's kind of fun.
So now you have all your own equipment. You have a studio. You have everything.
Yep.
So you're so totally self-contained.
It's totally self-contained. Probably about 15 years ago, and unfortunately, because a lot of my friends own post houses, But we used to go in there and you pay a lot of money for the rooms and do that type of stuff. But we have found that if you find editors and writers, we can bring them in, pay them an hourly rate, but own your own equipment.
Right.
And now, you know, when we first started, the equipment was like $120,000.
Right, super expensive.
Right?
Yeah, it's nuts. Now he works off his phone, right?
Exactly. Which, you know, I call some of it the YouTube generation too, where stuff doesn't have to look as good as it did before, as long as it has a good creative hook.
Right.
Where before you used to be able to sell the technology as well.
Now, how did, when you work with your clients and you're trying to explain to them, you know, on one hand, they're saying, look, these people are cranking out videos left and right. Why can't we do that? And you're saying you have to maintain a certain level of quality. You can't just, you know, grab your phone and start filming stuff and throwing it out there.
Exactly. And what I have found is a lot of people that can just grab your phone and do those types of things, they have trouble dealing with the clients also. Mm-hmm. They have trouble with a 10 o'clock call that, no, this needs to change. It needs to be up and running and doing that. So there's still that business side of it.
Right. To me, it's like amateur and professional. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys are professional.
Correct.
You show up on time, you deliver on time, as opposed to somebody who, you know, has got a camera.
Exactly.
But now your stuff may very well find, I might see your stuff on my phone after I've played Words with Friends or something. They might advertise a Scooby-Doo DVD, right? So the device that you're seeing it on, that's changing dramatically, right?
Absolutely. And we're actually working on a different thing that's really cool right now, is the second screen experience. Mm-hmm. So now when you buy a DVD, you can buy a Scooby-Doo DVD, and a second screen, they'll have like video games, or they'll show you the storyboards that goes with that.
Oh, wow.
So it's always changing.
And then can it go to the website, and then?
It can, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and another thing as a business, what we try to do now is, rather than you're going to do a trailer for me, and that's what it's going to do, we see where it can go across all platforms.
And then, because you're trying to be smarter than your client to
we
show
have to
them,
be.
Right?
Yeah.
And because they don't even know what to ask.
Right.
So you got to be the smart one to know what's ahead of them.
Exactly. It's like with the second screen. We've been, you know, going at it for about a month.
Yeah.
And we call our clients up, and you do. You know more than they do with it, because you're looking at every single angle rather than I'm taking care of the content. I'm taking care of the X's and O's, how it gets there. If you go in there, then you'll be ahead of the game.
And then plus you have to build such a deep relationship that they trust that you do know what you're talking about, and not just something that they heard some guy talking about or their cousin can do.
Exactly. And Scooby-Doo has been our client for 17 years. And it's the number one kid animated movie direct to video that Warner Brothers has. So we have that trust factor with them.
Now, are you able to leverage that and to get clients outside of, you know, Scooby-Doo land and get
We have
more traditional clients?
We have. Mar Vista Entertainment is one client that we had, but where we'll do trailers for movies that are going to DVD plus going to TV shows, and then they'll take it to a show to sell their movies. Mm-hmm. So we'll do little trailers for all of them. I think we did six of that last year.
Yeah, it was like five or six of them.
But it's like every industry. It's all about relationships.
Right.
When someone gets let go of a company or leaves a company, you're sad because that business goes away.
But then you're happy because where are they going to land?
It's going to be a new opportunity, right?
Exactly.
So send them candy, send them flowers, send all that stuff, and then you're there.
Is there a place for all these reality TV shows in your business ecosystem?
You know, that's kind of a niche. Mm-hmm. We actually were just talking to somebody from A&E that's doing a reality show, and my advice to her was, you know, you hire the companies because they know where to come in. They know where to put all the cameras. They just know that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where we don't. But what we do do, and we did this for Lifetime last year, was we'll do it for their upfronts.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll send us all their
right. And you
shows.
Can make the trailer. You can make everything.
Right.
What do you do the TV commercials after? Like, can you then take your trailer and make it into a TV commercial?
Yeah. Like, so Double Divas. We're here in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
Which is a Lifetime show. We did the 15-second TV spots.
He's
for those.
Making that up. Is that actually Double D?
Oh yeah.
Show?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to have a whole segment of, is this really a reality show or not?
Real or not? Yeah. So you've been writing with these guys for about a year?
About a year. I started as an intern in January, and they just couldn't get rid of me.
Well, I want to know what that interview must have been like, in an interview with Robin Williams or something. I mean, with this, such a creative environment. Tell me about the interview and the onboarding process with this outfit.
Well, it was funny because I'd called them several times before the new year when I was still at Georgia Southern. for an interview to get in for an internship. And you know, with the way you know the business is with us, it's very busy, very hectic, and things, it's in bursts. So you may not think you're going to get busy, and then you get a bunch of changes, and all of a sudden you're slammed. And so it was touch and go for a while, and eventually I was in town and got a hold of Sean directly. And
you took his call.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And it's funny, and what I tell him now is, you know, because so many people are like, well, I've given my resume to all these people. I've done. Be persistent. Show up at their doorstep and say hello in the morning, or get your face known.
Right.
Because it's not, you
know, because he's a commodity. There's a lot of hims, right?
Right. Exactly. Unfortunately. And so in order to get in there, you have to be that.
A little above and beyond.
Yeah.
You know?
And all of our employees, except for two of them, sought us out, and it was just the repetitive.
Relentless.
Right. And if something shows up on your door, you're like, okay, go ahead.
Right, exactly.
Run with it. And he's done a great job, so.
Yeah, well, thank you, but that's exactly how it happened. I just kept calling, and then I came in for an interview, and it was over way too quick. it was really quick interview.
Look, there was a Giants game on.
Yeah, right. something was going on. But no, they said, come back in a week, and you'll start, and. Just started then, got my internship done quick because it was hours-based. Just got it done in 2 months. And then they decided to keep me on and hire me on for freelance work. And I'm there every day, and it's great. It's a fun job, and we love doing it. It's a good chemistry within the company, and we do great work. I really think we do great work. So it's awesome.
So now, how has the kind of boomlet that we're having, I guess, in the film industry here in town impacted your business? Has it helped you guys out?
For me personally, or for our company, it has not. That's more of the people that are shooting features.
Mm-hmm.
But it's insane the amount of movies that have come to Atlanta because of that reason.
Right, for that tax credit, for people who aren't
exactly
familiar, the tax credit law changed and it made it very attractive for out-of-state companies to come
correct
here.
And what some smaller companies that I've seen have done is if you shoot, you have to shoot, I think it's like over $250,000 worth in the state before you get a tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they'll do is if they're doing three series of commercials, they'll book it all under one project.
Oh, to so get it might be 250.
Exactly. And then it all adds up, and then they get that tax credit.
Right.
And the other, you know, I think Atlanta's a great, obviously, you know, film industry, and also commercials. You know, we have TNT, we have TBS,
right,
and all that type of stuff here. A lot of times on the West Coast, we're kind of looked at as, you know, it's either LA or New York.
Right.
But that's all changing, especially now that they know that we can get everything done here.
Now, are you seeing a lot of the people who maybe you used to subcontract out with, they become competitors?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people that we were all together at Turner, especially now with the way technology is so easy to get. Anybody can produce and edit, and, you know, now that even anybody at home can edit with the new software that they have out there. So, again, I think it's more what's the creative hook.
Mm-hmm.
And being available for the client. And again, a lot of times the creative side and the business side don't work well together, where a creative person would need reining in management.
Right. It's not art for art's sake. You got to
right
sell
so,
something at some point.
So in that support, you know, to me, I always try to hire somebody smarter than me and more creative than me. And then you can reel them in, you know.
Now, when you're working with a client, a lot of times I used to be a writer, and a lot of times that the client doesn't know exactly what they want.
Mm-hmm. Ever.
Right?
They know what they don't want, though.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so then they send you off, and then you
bring
try
me
your
a rock
best, mm-hmm, you know, to kind of figure out, get in their head, mm-hmm, and then they tell you, no, that's not what I want. Like,
right,
how does that back and forth work in your company?
Well, a lot of time, what we'll do is Michael has a completely different writing style than I do. I don't write. I come up with ideas and then
right
have him write it. But we'll also hire outside writers and get 5 or 6 scripts from each person.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get them all in a room, and then we kind of go over it, and then we pick the best 4 or 5 and send that to the client.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their creative briefs are usually pretty good, and because we've been doing it for so long.
Right, you kind of know what they like and what they
right
don't like.
And we always send one that's completely way out of the box.
And you do a safety, like a real
yep
conservative one,
yep,
and a real crazy one, and then.
Yep.
And you can throw an outside writer under the bus. Like if the
right
client comes back, this is horrible. Oh, yeah, that was an outside writer.
That
yeah
Bill.
That was not even the one I meant to send you.
We fired him. That was ridiculous. How'd that get in that pile?
So you're clearly an entrepreneur as well. Have you found yourself in other entrepreneurial ventures that maybe weren't as wildly successful? And if so, what'd you learn from them?
I have a lot, actually. 2 years ago, I bought myself and Scott Benson, who's the owner, bought a water bottling plant. And how we came up with this was one day we were sitting there thinking about advertising, and I'm like, wouldn't it be cool if Scooby-Doo was on bottled water in the stores?
Right.
And so we had this plan, and we actually we did some of it with the Weather Channel as well. It's like, get your shows in the stores, and you know, and it's automatic, or put give it to all the cars at the airport,
right,
the rentals and that type of stuff. And we were well on our way, and then the economy just tanked.
So you got the license rights to put it on there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was the hard part.
Yeah. But again, because of our relationship, that we could have done it. And it's free advertising. It's like,
sure,
you walk down the store, why wouldn't you want it?
That's a great idea.
So we would make money on this side. Warner Brothers would not have to pay as much to have it on, you know, have it on there.
Right.
And it's just eyeballs. But again, it was outside the box. The biggest thing I learned was, because we still were doing the Benson Company, obviously, you cannot run a second company unless you're fully 100% invested.
All in, right? There's no dabbling.
No. I mean, you have to be, because we would hire people to come in and do the water, and I've learned everything about this as we're still running this company, and you have to be all in.
Mm-hmm.
You can't run at 50%.
Right.
So we have now, Scott and I have done a couple different things, and we have now realized Benson Company is what we do. This is what we're good at.
Right.
Let's stay focused. On that. Exactly.
Now, how did you and Scott get together from Turner?
Yep. I was actually in the finance department at Turner. I went to school for finance.
So that's why you'd make a good creative director?
Exactly.
Makes perfect sense.
Because you're good with the numbers, right?
Exactly. And I was sitting in a suit and tie, and I saw all these people in shorts
having
and t-shirts.
Fun.
Smiling, right? When they came in, staying late.
You're like, well, I'm in the wrong department here.
And I went over to Scott, and
you didn't know each other? He was working there, you were working there.
Correct, yeah.
And you went up to him. You were the relentless guy.
I was. And I went over and I said, you know, I want to do what you guys do. And he took me on, and they need somebody to do budgets for creative. And then I just started writing under a guy by the name of Wayne Johnson, and Peter Moore really helped me along. And then 2 years later, Warner Brothers bought it out. And like I said, they wanted a lot of people to move. And nobody in our department moved. We all kind of went our separate ways. And Scott was like, I want to take you on. And it just worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't looked back. It's been great.
So it's you two in the company, or you're the two?
We're the two main owners. I own 30% of it, and he owns 70%. And then we have a couple editors on staff, graphics on staff, and audio we source out.
Mm-hmm. So being an owner and coming from a corporate background, how was that transition for you?
Being an owner, obviously, you get to ride the uphills.
You're first starting, I mean, I guess you had clients right off the bat. You were able to move some of your Turner contacts into clients right off the bat, so you didn't have that period of, wow, we got to sell some. You sell some, you know.
Right. Well, actually, you know, Scott's always been the top salesperson, and I've always kind of run the things.
The more operations part of it.
Exactly. Scott didn't get paid for the first year. Luckily, he had been at Turner so long, and he was a high-level exec.
Right.
So I think he got a year or 2 year and a half severance.
Right.
And so we kind of wrote it out with that. We struck a deal with a post house here that was called Creative Chaos. They're no longer in business.
So all their stuff's at your place now?
Exactly. We bought it all in a firestorm. But we got free space and all that type of stuff, and we used their rooms for the first couple of years.
And then now you have your own.
Yeah, then we went out and decided we're going to buy a building.
Oh, of course. There you go.
Because it would be
be silly not to.
Right. It would be a great investment.
You can keep all your water there. It's perfect.
It's funny. We still have bottled water there.
We do. Should have brought some. But because we thought, you know, let's buy this. It'll be an investment rather than just
And real estate's so easy.
Yeah. Yeah. That was before everything went down. But no, it's actually a really nice atmosphere because we bought a townhouse. We got a bunch of different edit booths there, but it's a room. You know, there's couches, there's comfortable chairs and that type of stuff. And it's a great atmosphere. It really is.
And that's where you still are today?
Yep. Yep. We're there. We're over on 14th Street. We have two. We have one that we keep all of our stuff in, and then another one that has offices for us. And we actually rented out the bottom portion to somebody that does apps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what's next for you guys?
The second screen is really big for us right now. We've partnered up with another company called Hat House that does everything we don't do, and we do everything that they don't do. So they'll do print, they make the apps and that type of stuff. So second screen, we're really going forward on that.
And you're working hand-to-hand to create this for the client.
Correct, correct. We'll handle the content portion, and they'll handle banner ads and all that type of stuff.
So now, what do you need more of? More clients? More Michaels? What do you need?
You always need more clients. You know, one thing we have never done is we never say no. So, you know, last year we did a big presentation for Warner that was kind of stuff that we don't do, and it was a 12-minute presentation for Clint Eastwood. And, you know, if you can't get it done, you still hire somebody that can, and you manage the whole project through. So mm-hmm. we hired a couple producers to do that, and it was great. So, and, you know, we are always looking for new things, because to me that energizes you. If I just sat there and did trailers,
right,
or just did TV spots for a show, yeah.
So now you're just keep trying to mine that Warner Brothers relationship and into different areas, different.
Correct. You know, we try to get in the digital side. You're also in the catalog, which is a lot of the older, mm-hmm. not older, classic films.
Classic. Nothing's exactly. old.
No, nothing. Everything's classic. But it's ironic because we don't do a lot of work now with Cartoon Network here and TCM. They do most of it in-house.
Right.
But now with the second screen, I think that's going to give us
another reason to have a conversation.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And it always gets you a lunch.
And if people want to learn more, website?
It's the BensonCo.com. It's BensonCo.com.
And then there they can see some of the work you've done.
Correct.
Right.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys both being on the show.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Great time. Thank you.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stump Payton. We will see you all next week on Midtown Business Radio.